For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Get ready, Ohio. FanDuel, America's number one sports book, is coming to the Buckeye State. And to kick things off, you can get started with $100 in free bets as an early sign-up bonus. Plus, when you sign up today with promo code OHIOFD, you'll be all set when FanDuel goes live in Ohio. Then you can bet on all your favorite teams in all your favorite sports with $100 in free bets. Just download FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Ohio, this is your chance to get in on the action. Join today with promo code OHIOFD. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 or older and present in Ohio. Bonus issued in non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after FanDuel accepts its first real money sports wager in Ohio, 1-1-23. Unique user identity verification required. Offer ends on the go-live date. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Nobody builds 5G like Verizon builds 5G. Because we're the engineers who built the most reliable network in America. And the more you do with 5G, the more building it right matters. The more your network matters. The more Verizon engineers going the extra mile matters. It's us pushing us. It's Verizon versus Verizon. 5G built right from America's most reliable network. Most reliable based on rankings from RootMetrics second half 2020 U.S. report of 3 mobile networks. Results may vary. Award is not an endorsement.
Winning comes in all shapes and sizes. Every day there's an opportunity for a win, just like scratchers from the Virginia Lottery. Every day grab and go. Every day giftable. Every day fun. It's where anticipation meets instant gratification. And they're satisfying to scratch, no matter the outcome. Like the new Virginia Lottery Scratcher Colossal Cash. It's loaded with $100 to $500 prizes. Now, that's an everyday win. Drive to the nearest Virginia Lottery retail location and pick up a scratcher today. Odds of winning any prize, 1 in 3.21.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. Here to continue our discussion on how to adjust the Ravens' passing game to optimize it, is what I'll say. Zach Blewett joining us. We did the first part. You may have listened to that. If you haven't, it's probably good to listen to that one first. Zach, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks again for having me back.
All right. Happy to do it. And this is a great conversation yesterday, and I thought we'd continue again today. So let's talk about the wide receiver position. Obviously, one that is the most commonly discussed on Twitter, perhaps after quarterback, perhaps before quarterback for this team.
Right. I think there's a lot of people with a lot of opinions out there. A lot of them are pretty negative, and hopefully we can straighten some of those people out and get a little bit of patience.
All right, well, let's talk about the current players first, because obviously the Ravens, like a lot of teams, have had turnover at the wide receiver position. They start, obviously, with third-year player Hollywood Brown now coming back for what I think is a fairly pivotal season for him.
I would definitely agree with that. You know, I think that he made some good strides, especially in the second half of last year. You know, he put up great numbers within this scheme, you know, when it was all said and done. And I think that, you know, a lot of the stats bear that out. I think that there was a couple plays that he let the ball hit the turf. I think if he cleans up a couple of those plays, he becomes, you know, the top target, the explosive player that he was drafted to be.
About a 6% drop rate, according to Pro Football Reference, six drops and 100 targets. That's approximately a 6% drop rate. Anyway, he certainly did a lot with the balls he caught, and still is not doing a ton after the catch when he's anywhere near traffic. Does that bother you at all?
I don't think it really bothers me that much. You know, the best of it, the best available, or what is it? The best trait ability. You can have is availability. Yeah, best ability is availability. So, you know, I don't want him to take crushing hits from, you know, big safeties, linebackers. You know, I like when he takes the step out of bounds. I think it's smart. You know, Lamar does the same kind of thing. So I'm not too worried about that. I do think, you know, if he can, if Lamar can get him the ball with a little bit better timing, I think we could talk a little bit about how we could maximize his short area quickness and get him the ball in space a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You know, he's an incredible downfield threat, but I think the more routes that he runs, the more it opens up Hollywood for the big play.
Right. One thing that we've talked about on this show a little bit in the past is that when there are decision routes, I'll call it, for a safety, Brown is still the guy they follow. So if the safety has to make a decision to bracket Andrews on an underneath route on the top of it, or to try and be the second man on Brown deep, they'll almost always take Brown deep, oftentimes to the detriment. So, but Brown makes contributions that are outside of what you maybe see every single play. He's definitely is drawing coverage away, and the Ravens offense, and I think the best thing you can say about Lamar and having to spread the ball around is the larger the portion of the field you can actually threaten, the more dangerous the Ravens are everywhere on it.
I would 100% agree with that, and I think it sort of leads into a conversation about Devin Duvernay and how he can help. You know, if the defense decides we have to take away Mark Andrews and we have to take away Hollywood Brown, Lamar needs a third outlet, somebody that can, you know, move the chains, can make plays in space. Because, like you said, if that safety is coming off, that means that third player is likely in a one-on-one matchup against a defender. And we need somebody that can really take advantage of that. And I think that Devin Duvernay has a lot of the skill set that we would look for in that third receiving option.
Kind of a weird year for Duvernay because he had 20 catches out of 26. So in terms of his rate stats and even his yards per target at 7.7 were not terrible. He certainly outplayed the other choices that the Ravens had, but yet only got 34% of the snaps. And when I say the other choices, I'm really talking about losing snaps to Dez Bryant.
Right, and I think that, you know, we saw that at the end of the year, Duvernay's usage dropped a bit as a result of Dez Bryant being on the field. You know, I've heard you talk about it a number of times. We don't need to beat a dead horse with that one. I think that the Dez Bryant experiment is over, and we realize that it never really worked out the way that the team envisioned it working out.
You know, I'm okay with not beating that dead horse anymore as long as we can generalize the notion that picking up 32-year-old receivers who've been out of the league or similar aging wide receivers is generally a bad thing. I'm not there yet. I mean, if you look at Twitter, you would not get that impression. Fortunately, the Ravens, you know, while they did it this last year, and honestly, it was fairly puzzling, they haven't done it too much during the DaCosta era. They did it more during the Newsom era with picking up players like Wallace and Macklin and others late in their careers.
Sure, and I think, you know, they did have some success with those types of receivers, but... You know, I think when you're trying to, we have such a young offense, we're hoping that they can gel and grow together. These young guys, they need the opportunity. They need to see those snaps and be able to play through that rookie wall in Duvernay's case. And so hopefully that didn't slow down their progression as receivers too much. And, you know, I'm very hopeful that they give those young receivers, you know, continue to give them a greater opportunity in 2021.
All right. Really surprising to me, Miles Boykin, listed as third on your list of receivers here to discuss. He actually played a lot more snaps than Duvernay did, 53% of the snaps to 34. He lost some snaps to Bryant as well. The guy has put up 8.4 yards per target for his career. That is extremely good for a Ravens receiver.
And I think that he's done the most with the targets that he's gotten. I think he's sort of a lightning rod for criticism because people see him in that number two receiving role and don't see big numbers come out of it. There's been a lot of talk that he's just not on the same page with Lamar. I think it's just a matter of consistency with Boykin, and that's something that could probably come from more touches, more targets, rather. You know, I think there are some plays where he and Lamar are so in sync that, you know, Lamar throws the ball to a spot that Boykin's the only one that knows it's going to go there, and those plays are great. You know, you think back to that opening touchdown of the season in Miami in 2019 with Boykin working his way back through the end zone. But then there are just some of those plays where they don't seem to be on the same page with either the timing or where exactly that ball is going to show up. We had that bad interception this year that Boykin didn't really work his way back to the ball to sort of contest that interception. So
you're talking the one against Tennessee in the playoffs, right?
Yeah. And so I think consistency is the name of the game for Boykin. I didn't put Duvernay ahead of Boykin on this list purposefully. I think that they should both be given that, you know, larger opportunity.
All right. I mean, Boykin, obviously very important to the Ravens' run game. We don't need to keep talking about that here, but he plays an important secondary role. What I would like to see more of Boykin, and there's a lot of people out there who want to convert Boykin to be a tight end. You know, big body, could put on a little additional weight. I'd say he's fine just where he is on the outside. The problem is he just needs to exploit zone defense better and use his body well to block out and find those holes, maybe cross more would be what I would put in Boykin's repertoire to make sure that those holes in the zone, which Lamar faces, you know, a disproportionate amount of the time, are exploited.
I would agree with that. And, you know, I think that part of the reason that people want to see him move to tight end is just his size, like you mentioned. I don't think that, you know, if you really ask those people, well, what do you want him to do differently as a tight end versus a receiver, there's not a huge distinction. You know, the type of routes that he runs, I think when it really comes down to it, he's just got to be more physical, use his length and height, and you know, that you can use that on the outside or on the inside.
Yeah. All right, how about James Prochet? We saw only three targets this last year. Two of them went for pick sixes against the Steelers, one in each game.
I think that particular stat is probably just an outlier, you know, a function of the routes that were being run, the player that he was replacing, and maybe defenders keying in on the rookie on the field, right? You know, I just want to get him that opportunity. I really liked his college tape. I think that he has the skills to be an outside receiver, make some of those chain moving plays that we look for from Duvernay, Boykin. You know, I think it all just comes down to opportunity for these younger guys, and that's why I sort of shy away from wanting to sign, you know, a big name veteran, or you know, we'll get into what we think is missing from this passing attack, but I do think that some of these players have those abilities.
Well, when you talk about what's missing, we start with only four players that are there. I don't know that there is another really good chance for anyone who's on the 90-man roster currently to make it. So I think the Ravens will pick up a player in the draft, or they will pick up a free agent, or they will do both.
I think ideally it's both, right? I think you want a veteran receiver presence in that room for these young guys. You know, there is certainly, I think, at the wide receiver position especially, that experience can really help those younger players develop. And I do expect us to draft somebody. We'll get into that, but, you know, it's a deep draft at wide receiver. And I think what we're really looking for, well, let me say what I don't think we're looking for. I don't think we're looking for a guy like a Julio Jones or DeAndre Hopkins, somebody who will thrive on 12 targets a game. Mm-hmm. And we're looking for somebody that can fill a role, is an X receiver, can move the chains. You know, we just don't have the volume in the passing attack for one of those you know, one of these guys that people, trade the whole draft for Julio Jones, get him in here. Well, if you can't target him 12 times a game, which we discussed yesterday, you can't really do that within the Ravens' offensive scheme right now. Why would you, sell your future for this year?
I completely agree with that. So if you're talking, let's approach this maybe from a slightly different angle. The Ravens at running back, one of the things that I really have appreciated the last few years is how they've done so well, always having the stylistic fit that they need without having, before Dobbins anyway, a truly great running back who could do everything or who could do a lot of things at a very exceptional level. You know, they've had guys that have been great working parts. Gus Edwards is outstanding power back who has a little bit of slipperiness in his game, and that's a positive, but it's not like he's one of the top five backs in the league or the top 15 backs in the league, probably in terms of just plain skill. How can they use a similar philosophy to find stylistic fits at wide receiver?
I think running back by committee is a term that everybody's familiar with and sort of accepts in today's modern NFL as sort of acceptable, as ideal in many ways. And I think that, to your point, that same principle should be and can be and should be applied to the wide receiver position for the Ravens. You want players to fill specific roles within this offense. We already have some of those pieces, and I think that, we're trying to improve the passing game as a whole. We're not trying to get a wide receiver that's going to solve all the problems of this offense. It's not a one-player solution. So
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go on.
If you had a stylistic element that's decidedly missing from the wide receivers in the current Ravens offense that you think is important to optimize the Ravens offense, what would it be?
I think it's that third down guy that can move the chains on third and six, third and eight. Just the other day I was watching Anquan Boldin Super Bowl run highlights and thinking, man, that is a guy that he just got the job done on those on the toughest downs, made himself available to Flacco. And I think that if we could get somebody like that, a possession receiver, not looking to get 12, 15 targets a game, probably 6 to 8, super efficient, can be that third option behind Mark Andrews in Hollywood. That's really what I would like to see the Ravens go after. And I think that the ideal approach to that this year is the draft.
It's a shame because Willie Snead embodied a lot of that, along with some of the toughness the Ravens liked in the run game, of being that third down find space guy. And I think you can go a couple different ways on this. You're really mentioning Boldin as use of the body, which is at another level. I mean, Boldin is a Hall of Fame use of body and strength player who would not let the ball be pried free from his hands easily. And you mentioned the playoffs, the third and one pass in the Super Bowl, which kept the Ravens drive going, where they went back up by 6, I think, at the time. That was just a remarkable such play. And you really, it's hard to find that guy. So I'm not expecting them to do it. What I do want them to do is have another receiver who basically can get between level 2 and level 3 and use the fact that the linebackers are biting on whatever Lamar is doing to make space for himself in zone.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's part of it. If you're dedicating yourself to this scheme, you're running the ball a lot, you're trying to suck those linebackers down, you're trying to get safeties to bite, being able to really work that, and I think that the Ravens do a good job of manipulating between the hashes, right? Getting Mark Andrews open in that kind of between level 2 and level 3 space. What they're not great at right now, or at least in 2020, was getting the ball outside the numbers at that level.
Yeah, and that can be tough. I mean, Lamar changes the way the passing game works because of his mobility within the pocket and the additional time to throw he generates. So one of the other stylistic fits, and I'm not really sure if this is a stylistic fit as much as an intuition fit, or maybe it's ability to read defenses or an ability to know where space exists, is a guy who can work well on an extended play. And the Ravens, for years with Flacco, didn't have receivers who were any good at that. honestly. They had guys who basically started to give up on the play. They said, well, I ran my seven route or whatever. There's nothing more for me to do. You need a Shannon Sharp. You need someone who's going to come back to the ball and find that space for Lamar to make a play when he's otherwise out of options. I think Andrews does a pretty good job with it. I just think the Ravens could use another receiver who would do it as well.
I would agree with that. I think Hollywood definitely improved in that last year. Saw that,
Cleveland
clinching that Browns game, right? So I would definitely agree with that. I think that sort of being able to work yourself back into a play when you've run a route that has not developed for whatever reason, the line broke down, Lamar's scrambling, it is a skill to be able to work yourself back into that play, and having that at wide receiver, just because of the depth they get on the field, is much more important than having that at running back or tight end, where it's probably going to be a shorter throw, there's going to be more traffic in that area on a broken down play like that.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk about the potential options here, because the Ravens still have free agency to go and they have the draft. We'll go in the order you like, because I'd like to know if you think they might still make a pre-draft move for a wide receiver.
I think they definitely will. But what I think they are being most careful about is protecting those compensatory picks. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be the thing that most people forget on Twitter is, they're trying to... So first of all, we're past the first wave, right? There's no real sense of urgency with the guys that are left. They want to play it. They want to let this market develop. They want those players to sort of say, okay, maybe I'm not going to be valued as high as I thought I would, especially in this COVID cap year, and, bring those deals down. But like I said, it's really about those compensatory picks. We don't want to sign somebody that's going to negate one of those, because they're going to be so valuable once Lamar signs this mega contract, whether that's mm-hmm. this year or next year. And we've got those 2018 draft picks all come and due at the same time. So having mid-round draft picks, whether it's a third or fourth for Judon and Ngakoue, having those draft picks is going to be really crucial to continue to develop the team beyond 2021.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And people say, what are we going to do with 11 draft picks? Well, and that's what they said in 2018, I believe. And we might have even had 12. But the answer is get 9 starters. And, you really can never have too many draft picks. And the Ravens did lose a couple of players from that group. I mean, they lost Sealer because they just did not have room for him on the 53. But honestly, you can't go wrong drafting that well with the additional picks even. And the Ravens will always be able to find ways to save money, I believe, if they continue to draft as well as they have. Meaning, you draft an extra defensive lineman, all of a sudden, Brandon Williams or Calais Campbell or Derek Wolfe, maybe on the back end of his new deal, suddenly becomes expendable.
Absolutely. And then you sort of compound that with how the wide receiver market shaped up in this free agency. A lot of people are seeing some of these mid-range deals. Somebody like... I believe it was Golden Tate went to the Jaguars. People looked at that deal and said, well, why weren't the Ravens really in on that? Well, they probably just didn't view that player as somebody that would fit what they wanted to do, or it wasn't right player, right price, or they would have had to, I can't remember if Tate was cut or if he was an unrestricted free agent. But, all these factors play into it. And everybody that's just pounding the table to sign somebody, get somebody in here, they're not considering these other factors. They're just thinking about what that roster is going to look like at the end of it.
Yeah. One of the things, that turns me off in the conversation, basically I know that I'm not going to have a reasonable conversation with this person, as anybody says, screw compensatory picks, we got to win now. I mean, look, I can be okay with we got to win now and it's worth giving up a compensatory pick with a valid amount of thought about this, but screw compensatory picks, I'm not talking to you. I'm not doing it.
And those are the same people that tell you, well, we got to move up to number 10 to draft Kyle Pitts this year or Jalen Waddle.
How do you do that?
How do you do that? Well, you have more draft capital to make that kind of move, and you can't have both.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely true. That additional draft picks are the currency of draft day trades. If you want to move around on the draft pick, the draft board, you need to have additional picks. If you want to move down, having those additional picks has value. But boy, people who don't realize that is you're missing out on a fundamental building block of the Ravens organization is how they deal with these compensatory picks, how they treat the draft in general. I'm going to make one more point about the draft before we move on here, is that the JJ chart is useful because I think most NFL trades are still made in terms of the JJ point values. In fact, we were doing a draft show last year. It was day two, and you can basically predict exactly what the trade is as soon as you hear a team has traded a pick with another team. Well, it's going to be their second, which is 10 picks later, and they're also going to have to throw in a third for that to get you know right away exactly what it's going to be. But the Ravens, I think, underlying what they do, have a flatter valuation of those draft picks, meaning they think a third or fourth round pick is worth more than the JJ chart thinks a third or a fourth or maybe even a fifth round pick is worth. And so when they're making an even trade in terms of points, they consider themselves as winning that trade. And that's why they trade down much more than they trade up.
Well, and I think that their successful draft history bears that out, right? I mean, they have taken, think about all the great offensive linemen that we've taken in those middle rounds and have turned into starters. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, those starters have turned into more compensatory picks in that same area. So it's almost a, you know, 4-year rental on a lot of these players. If you can draft a guy in the fifth round, turn him into a starter, and then get a fourth, fifth, sixth round compensatory pick for him after his 4-year contract is up. I mean, that's the value that they're really looking for. And that's why I think that it's been so consistent with the Ravens. It's every year they're trying to get these compensatory picks. It's an organizational philosophy. It's not trying to capitalize year to year on the possibility of getting compensatory picks.
Right. You know, we know this. Teams that draft well, they have to make heartbreaking.
Winning comes in all shapes and sizes. Every day there's an opportunity for a win, just like scratchers from the Virginia Lottery. Every day grab and go, every day giftable, every day fun. It's where anticipation meets instant gratification. And they're satisfying to scratch, no matter the outcome. Like the new Virginia Lottery scratcher Colossal Cash. It's loaded with $100 to $500 prizes. Now, that's an everyday win. Drive to the nearest Virginia Lottery retail location and pick up a scratcher today. Odds of winning any prize, 1 in 3.21.
Some cars are comfy on the inside, but don't have power on the outside. And some cars have the horsepower, but none of the comfort. I used to think there weren't any cars that were the total package. But that all changed when I got my Honda SUV. It's rugged and sophisticated. And right now, Honda has deals on the entire Honda SUV lineup. CR-V, HR-V, Pilot, Passport, you name it. So if you're looking for a car that's the total package, the only place you'll find it is at your local Honda dealer. Hurry before they're all gone.
Decisions about their homegrown talent. I mean, you know, Rick Wagner and Za'Darius Smith and all these players who you liked. Matt Judon is in the same category now, even though they franchised him once. Yannick Ngakoue, who's a Baltimore boy, you could call him in this same category, even though the Ravens traded for him. But you have to let a lot of players go because the salary cap does not allow you to keep all of them. And all I can say is it's a hell of a lot better position to be in when you're in the Ravens space of, oh no, what player are we going to have to let go? As opposed to you're in some other lousy drafting team space and saying, crap, we got four holes to fill with free agency, and that's going to be a hell of a lot more expensive to do.
Well, and you know, we saw the enormous drop-off of the cap this year. Mm-hmm. If it had gone to where it was projected to go, I think it was over $200 million, 205, somewhere around there. So if we have that $20 million more this year to play with, I think Judon is still here, right? So they franchised him knowing sort of when, you know, looking at the cap projections, and you know, it just didn't work out because of COVID, and every team's fighting that, right? It's obviously not just the Ravens, but, you know, I think that Eric DaCosta, when he took over for Ozzie Newsome, came in and he said, we're keeping our core players. And he's done that. He's signed so many players you know, we get into this free agency time period, the offseason, everybody forgets about the extensions that were given during the offseason. They don't count for, you know, for, you know, building your team in the offseason. But, you know, I just think it could have been very different had we not had the COVID cap situation.
Yep, completely agree. And a signing of your own player, signing Tyus Bowser, that's not an important signing. A couple of years ago, it was signing Nick Boyle, and the Ravens had a press conference about it. And they're like, why are they having a press conference for re-signing Nick Boyle? Well, now we know, from 2019 and 20 exactly why.
One more point about the COVID cap number, and you know, I think that this directly relates to this situation with T.Y. Hilton, that a lot of the media is sort of portraying this as, well, he spurned the Ravens, took less money to go to the Colts. And that's ludicrous for a number of reasons. you know, the length of the deal, the guaranteed money, all those things play into it. But there's sort of this narrative developing that, you know, receivers don't want to either don't want to come play for the Ravens, or the Ravens don't have enough money to sign these players. And everybody's just sort of ignoring the third option of the Ravens are playing the patient game. They're working free agency in a way that works within their team building philosophy. And, you know, it's not such a black and white decision when it comes to signing or not signing these players.
Right. That is completely missed. But people who are writing about that, first of all, they want to get people to read their stuff. So that's fine. A lot of people want to hear about wide receivers. Go ahead and write about how T.Y. Hilton didn't come to Baltimore. But, you know, the other part of it is just, boy, what is it about T.Y. Hilton that is so much different from all the other 32-year-old guys that we've signed in the past decade here? I mean, I don't get it. But the other part of it is that while a player like John Brown, who was younger and faster and still had something certainly left in the tank when the Ravens signed him, he just didn't fit with Lamar once he took over in 2018. There was no chemistry there. He got 30 targets and he got 8 catches, I think, down the stretch.
And, you know, I think that that's another thing about the cap this year is players don't want a short-term contract to see if they're a good fit within a team right now, because, you know, they want to be able to capitalize at, you know, their highest point of earnings in their career, obviously. But they, you know, it's just, especially in T.Y. Hilton's case, I mean, I could talk about the T.Y. Hilton thing all day. I'm not sure why, to your point, I'm not sure why they were even in on that type of player. I don't think that is what is missing from their current game.
Right.
But it is what it is.
Yeah, it's you know, valid point. Players at any point, they want two things out of their contract. They want to get a contract when it's time for them to be available for free agency or before. So they either want to do what Orlando Brown is trying to do to try and get a long-term contract a year earlier, either from the Ravens or from somebody else. Or when they do get to free agency, they certainly don't want to be franchised because of the risk to the long-term money. And then they want to get a multi-year deal with the highest possible signing bonus. And the upfront money is what really matters. It's that signing bonus, because that can never be taken away. After that, every contractual option that they have, it can be taken away. Now, there are positives in addition about having additional signing bonus and more guaranteed money, is that it makes it difficult for a team to take away your base salary 2 years down the road, even in a 5-year deal, say. So
right.
there are a lot of things that players are looking for, but they want to be signed on schedule or early, and they want to get the maximum signing bonuses. Those are the two most critical factors.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's get back to the Ravens wide receivers here, because we've talked about free agency a little bit. I actually think I'm going to take the other side of this argument for the show here, that the Ravens are probably more likely than not at this point to wait till after May 3rd to make a free agency thing, which means to make a free agency signing, which means I think they'll wait till after the draft, which means they're going to know, you know, to a greater degree of certainty what their needs are at that point. And I don't think, you know, you hit on the urgency of the players remaining in the free agency pool. I just don't think there's anybody from the team's perspective that is good enough to go out and snag Maybe one exception would be Willie Snead. If they get him back here on a really inexpensive deal, I'd be all for that. But there's not a guy that I just like so much at what is likely to be current pricing that I don't say, let's wait till after the draft, after the compensatory period, not lose even a seventh round pick over this.
Yeah, I think the only scenario that they want to sign a guy before the draft, really two reasons. One, you want to be able to go into the draft not feeling an enormous need in any mm-hmm. position. I don't think that the Ravens front office really feels that extreme need for the wide receiver as it is. And then the other thing is, if they are already a player that's not going to count against that compensatory formula, mm-hmm. I think that is sort of the combination of scenarios where they do sign somebody before the draft if it's not going to affect the compensatory pick, and if it's somebody that, like you said, they can get on that low contract. I love Willie Snead. I think that would be, you know, good depth for the team. I would like to see somebody sort of take a stronger role than sort of, you know, what Willie has done over the last couple of years.
Okay. Fair enough. So in terms of, let's assume now that the draft is the first shot, who are the guys you like in the draft?
There are a couple in both the early rounds and the late rounds. I think personally, I would prefer that we go for somebody in the fourth round or later. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm going to get railed on Twitter for that. That's fine. I'm willing to, you know, have a conversation with everybody about it. But the reason that I think that is because the guys that I see as the ideal fit for the Ravens, that sort of possession receiver, X receiver, I see those guys being valued a little bit later in the draft. Not to mention that this is, according to the experts, maybe the deepest draft at wide receiver maybe ever, you know, and that's something, especially coming off of last year. Mm-hmm. So I would personally, there's a handful of guys that I really like. Josh Palmer from Tennessee, he was at the Senior Bowl. Man, go find the YouTube video of his one-on-one reps at the Senior Bowl. He does some good things. I really like that player. Jonathan Adams Jr. from Arkansas State. I just watched a highlight video of him this morning. He's got some Anquan Boldin in his game, and he's playing with some fire. Josh Matopebe from Illinois just literally jumped out of the gym the other day. I don't know if you saw this video, but his vertical jump was a new record. If it would have been at the combine, it would have been a new record in vertical jump.
Well, do you know what the number was? So I was shocked at who had the record previously.
Who was that?
Justin Bethel, of all people, who was with the Ravens for
really?
A special team signing, jumped 60
yeah.
inches vertical. And then he was beaten out by another guy who jumped 63. So I was wondering what the record was here. If it had to be 63 inches, I guess.
Maybe it was wide receiver vertical set okay. the record. I'm not sure exactly, but I mean, it's an impressive jump. Those three guys, I think, will be available between the fourth and seventh round. Tylan Wallace and Sage Surratt are two other mm-hmm. guys that I really like. I think they sort of fit that mold. So for that reason, I think a later round draft pick, because of the fit, I think that's just the type of player that we're looking for. Not to say that there aren't some guys that I think will be available for us to take in the first through third rounds. There will be. I just don't know if they're guys that the Ravens are going to feel really fit their needs.
This isn't a 3-1 cut on a wide receiver necessarily. Again, you don't see the Ravens necessarily taking a wide receiver in round one. If you had to put a percentage on it, what would you say?
Oh, man. Taking a receiver in round one, I want to say 20%.
I was going to say 25. So that's good. We're right there.
And I think that one of the main reasons for that is there are pretty clearly three elite, real first round wide receiver options in Chase, Waddle, and Smith. You could throw Kyle Pitts in there too, for sure.
Right.
Those guys are all going to be gone. Yeah, they're never going to fall to us. And so the couple guys that you're looking at the tail end of round one, beginning of round two, Terrace Marshall, Rondale Moore, Kadarius Toney, couple more guys, you know, I think those are great players. I think if one of those guys falls to our second round pick, man, snap them up. But I really think that, in the handful of mock drafts that I've done, I've just always sort of liked the outcome. It's such a deep draft in wide receiver, and it's so, and there, you just don't have that depth with other positions that the Ravens really need to go after, like tackle, an edge rusher, maybe even safety. You know, yep. There are more guys at, you know, that if we can take those guys early, I think that the player with the wide receiver with the right fit will still be available to us in the mid to late rounds.
Okay, I agree with that philosophically entirely. I want to address one other thing that people will say, because I hear a lot of people saying, just go trade up for Kyle Pitts and get him. The Ravens really cannot do that. If he were to go 10th overall in this draft, the amount of draft capital required would be more than what the Ravens had if they traded every single pick. So it doesn't, even though the Ravens have their first round pick, I know they have a second and they have a third. They have draft capital that is still lower in the league because a lot of other teams' first round pick is worth more than the Ravens' entire draft, given how successful they've been, obviously, in making the playoffs last year. There are times you just have to accept you can't have a player. And I think the Ravens have proven fairly regularly, in Frank, every draft since 2003, that they won't trade next year's number one pretty much ever.
Yeah, I think the closest we ever got to that was trading the second rounder to trade back up for Lamar, right? Mm-hmm. And that is an organizational shift to say this is our future guy. I love Kyle Pitts. I think that if we didn't have an NFL draft and teams could just sign players when they came out, if we could recruit, I think Kyle Pitts is coming to Baltimore, man, because that would be electric within this offense. He is such an exciting player, but there's no way he's not fallen far enough for us to get him, even to trade up into the 15-16 range. He'll never make it that far, and we can't mortgage our future. Those future draft picks or even draft picks this year to go get a guy like that, because we have these contracts coming and Lamar's big contract coming. We need players that are going to be playing on their rookie deals.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, the number 13 pick, the one that has been rumored to be traded to the Ravens in exchange for Orlando Brown, that's, mm-hmm. you know, that first of all, that's not happening because it's too much for Orlando Brown. But if it were the right amount and if they could somehow get it, even that, you know, you'd have to throw in a lot of additional draft capital to move up to get Pitts in all likelihood.
Right. I don't see the Chargers making that move either. I think it would take a team that is sort of in, you know, what we mentioned earlier, that sort of Drew Brees last mm-hmm. gasp, you know, that sort of situation to take a shot on a player like Orlando. I think so much of the draft hinges, so much of the Ravens draft hinges on what happens with Zeus Jr. It's just so hard to really look at the draft without thinking about that first.
Okay, so we've talked a little bit about the draft. We talked a little bit about free agency for stylistic fits. But tell us, in terms of how you would change what's going on with the passing game, particularly at the wide receiver position, you know, what would be your ideal improvements?
I think we go and we get that veteran receiver, whether it's just after the draft or just before in a couple scenarios. And I think that we get a mid to late rounder that can contribute immediately, and then really develop into that sort of Anquan Boldin level player. We might even have the opportunity to take two of those type of guys, you know, two mid to late rounds and just sort of let them duke it out, really. You know, the coaches talk all the time about competition. Let's let these guys duke it out for these targets. And really, I would much rather see the Ravens continue to foster the youth movement on the offense, especially in the wide receiver room, and get these young players real opportunities, not bring in an aging vet like a Dez Bryant or somebody to take away their targets, their snaps. And, you know, that's as far as building out the room. I think as far as the actual scheme, I think I'd love to see some more quick hitters. I'd love to see Hollywood get some more shots to just get, you know, do some sweeps, some slants, get him the ball in space and let him, you know, make some of those big plays. And yeah, I really just think it comes down to efficiency in the passing game. Get guys that have great hands. You know, we did that last year. We picked Duvernay and Prochet, guys that were very specifically known for never dropping the ball. And yeah, I just really think it comes down to efficiency and opportunity.
All right. Certainly lots of things to be fit there. I'll go back to the one thing I want. I want a big body who can cross the middle of the field fearlessly and use his body well to shield the football and make some catches. Knows how to make one hard cut, stick his foot in the ground, and get free, and hopefully can develop some of that chemistry with Jackson. But also, you know, if I want another wide receiver, I want a crafty wide receiver who can get away quickly at the end of an extended play and make space that's not directly on that right sideline where Lamar is most likely to be rolled out to. So those would be the two characteristics I would want in a wide receiver they get, whether it's free agency or in the draft.
And I think there are guys that are available through both of those avenues that can fit those roles that we just talked about.
All right, so when we're talking about the Ravens' offense, and you know, does it really need to be changed is one of the things that comes up. And I know that was the topic of the first episode a little bit, but I want to go back to it a little bit because this is obviously one of the highest scoring and most efficient offenses in the entire National Football League. And people somehow lose sight of that because, oh my God, you're never going to beat the Chiefs if you don't get a wide receiver.
Yeah, I think that that's just a really narrow approach. I think that I think it's a great piece of clickbait to be able to talk negatively about Lamar right now. And that's just sort of the reality that we live in with the NFL media machine and always needing to have something to say, especially this time of year. You know, it's definitely exacerbated by it being the off season and there not being a whole lot going on now that we've gotten through that first wave of free agency. Yeah, I don't think that we need to change a lot. I think it's just, again, it's more about efficiency. You know, we saw a really, really efficient, balanced attack in 2019, and we were number one in the league. We dropped off a little bit on that last year, but we were still, I think, top 10. I think we were maybe number 7 overall offense. So this idea that we need to have some sort of huge makeover is absurd to me. You know, you don't see anybody saying that about any other team with this amount of success.
Right, I agree. I mean, all teams fans are hungry to get that one additional skill position. I go back to one other thing from the draft because I really wanted to make this point. I do think the Ravens have a couple of positions that are kind of underrated in terms of what they might go after that might actually compete with a wide receiver pick. And the first is on the defensive line, where that defensive line just has to get younger. They got Matt Ibike last year. That's very fortunate because they don't have anybody else who's young at all. And they really need to get another young player there, which probably means you need to invest significant first 3 rounds draft capital in that position to find that player. At least I think that's a pretty good possibility. The other is the running back position. The Ravens have been very good at picking up these players who are stylistic fits, and maybe they can do it again, but I think they might invest another draft pick. You know, probably not in the first 2 rounds, but it wouldn't shock me if there was a guy they really like from a value perspective, they'd take him in round 3, who would fit their needs, because Dobbins will be a one-man show, you know, possibly in a year. Justice Hill will be at the end of his first-year deal, so you're not going to be depending on him. Very possible and frankly probably a very reasonable avenue to take to say Gus Edwards will be gone because Gus was going to want a decent long-term contract starting next year, and I don't think the Ravens would be wise to do it necessarily.
I can see that happening for sure. I think we talked a little bit yesterday about how, you know, teams need to decide where they want to take a haircut, mm-hmm. right? You can't have all these players. And I don't see the Ravens carrying four running backs plus Ricard on their roster again. So I would be a little more hesitant, I think, to take that draft pick, just because then you really feel the pressure to carry all four of those guys.
Or you realize that Hill's option value is reduced and you can't justify him as a kick coverage guy.
That would be tough because he was, especially second half of last year, he was really coming on as a gunner. He made some great plays.
Yeah, I love him as a gunner. I really love him as a special teams player. But the problem is, and this has come up with other players too, is that kick coverage is not important enough in today's NFL game. It's just it's not that bigger role. So you have to do something else. There really isn't room for Jordan Richards to just be Jordan Richards special teams coverage. He has to be able to fill some defensive need or give you the umbrella to fill a defensive need at a substandard but above replacement level.
Sure.
All right. Well, anyway, a pleasure having you on. This is another great conversation. Boy, we could go on for a long time on this, I'm sure. Zach, first of all, tell people where they can find you on Twitter, because I forgot to mention that at the beginning of the show.
You can get me at Raven Ravens, R-A-V-I-N Ravens, on Twitter. It's been great chatting with you. I hope we get to do it again sometime soon.
You have an open invitation, as do other people who are passionate about their ideas, able to express them well. Please send me an email, filmstudy21@verizon.net, or you can just hit me up on Twitter. Let's say, hey, I'd like to do a show about this. Zach contacted me yesterday. We've already done a two-part series on this exact topic, and really great content, and love to hear from more of you folks out there. Please don't be shy about contacting me. Lots of material up there on the website. Give the videos a chance. There's a great one out there from Michael Crawford and Josh Mostyko showing their study of the Ravens' run game. You're nodding your head. Did you watch it?
I did. Yep. Great. Okay. Great material.
Yeah. Give that a chance, guys, because it's really worth it. Josh put together a tool for looking at the Ravens' run plays in various ways that allows you to control what plays are excluded or included. It's very, very interesting. And Michael Crawford's commentary is, of course, always very insightful. But anyway, thanks again for being on the show, Zach.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Winning comes in all shapes and sizes. Every day there's an opportunity for a win, just like scratchers from the Virginia Lottery. Every day grab and go, every day giftable, every day fun. It's where anticipation meets instant gratification, and they're satisfying to scratch no matter the outcome. Like the new Virginia Lottery scratcher Colossal Cash. It's loaded with $100 to $500 prizes. Now, that's an everyday win. Drive to the nearest Virginia Lottery retail location and pick up a scratcher today. Odds of winning any prize, 1 in 3.21.
Introducing the Lowe's List for Innovation. While our aisles are filled with innovative products, we've selected our favorites just for you. Like the exclusive Whirlpool washer with industry-first 2-in-1 removable agitator. We love this washer because you can customize any load. And with other smart features to streamline your laundry routine, this product is a must-have for families. Shop the full Lowe's list of top picks at Lowe's.com. Lowe's, home to any budget, home to any possibility. U.S. only.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.